We make jokes about what little kids are like when Christmas is approaching, and there's a lot of truth behind those jokes. Christmas is one of the very highest peaks on pretty much every kid's annual calendar. But I've got to believe that May also pushes for that top spot with many. School during the last weeks of May is littered with any number of special things going on that break through the grind of a normal school day. Nature walks and hot dog runs, at least for those in Dillingham, and field trips and play days. Frankly, as school goes, it's a great time to be a kid, particularly in an elementary building, which is how I'm kind of looking at this. And at long last comes the culmination of a great month, the last day of school, which took place in Dillingham yesterday. As a kid, you're very suddenly face to face with one of life's greatest joys, what seems like, at the outset, the promise of a summer that will go on forever and ever. School officially ending is, and has been, something of the unofficial start of summer for kids, for as long as I can remember. Not long after that comes the second unofficial start to summer, Memorial Day. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. A lot of folks, including yours truly, will have Monday off from work because of the fact that it's Memorial Day, an American holiday, observed on the last Monday of May. Memorial Day honors the men and women who died while serving our country as a part of its military. Originally, the holiday started out as Decoration Day, and it came into being shortly after the Civil War. More on that in just a bit. While it seems like it's been around forever, it actually became an official federal holiday in 1971. There is a lot of history and a whole host of traditions associated with Memorial Day. Because many of us will have Monday off, let's take a moment to consider the history and meaning behind the day. And if you need a connection to the things that Field Notes is supposed to embody, consider that many of you will use that extra day off to be out fishing, boating, or possibly camping. 3 years after the Civil War concluded, Major General John A. Logan came up with the idea to honor those who died in that war by decorating their graves with flowers, hence the original name of Decoration Day. That was in May of 1868. It is believed that he picked late spring because flowers were in abundance across most of the nation. The first large observance of Decoration Day was held that year at Arlington National Cemetery, across from Washington, D.C. General Ulysses S. Grant, amongst other military dignitaries, presided over the ceremonies. Speeches were made, prayers were said, hymns were sung, and flowers bestowed on graves. At the time of the initial observance, Logan urged, "We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time, testify to the present or to the upcoming generations that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic." The crowd at that first Memorial Day ceremony at Arlington was estimated to be about 5,000 people. Then, as now, small American flags were placed on each grave. Logan, by the way, is remembered as a skilled military leader and was a powerful, persuasive orator who was able to sway the opinions of people leading up to the Civil War about issues that led to that very war. After the war, he used those speaking skills to serve in both the House and Senate. So Decoration Day is where most folks trace the roots of Memorial Day, too. That said, many cities across the North and South, remembering it was the time immediately after the Civil War, laid claim to similar celebrations held in their communities as being the origin of Memorial Day. In fact, approximately 25 places have been named in connection with the origin of Memorial Day. Irrespective of where it really started, by the end of the 1800s, Memorial Day ceremonies were being held across most of the nation, and May 30th was a common date. Many state legislatures passed proclamations designating the day, and both the Army and the Navy adopted regulations for proper observance of the day. With the nation's memory still fresh of the Civil War, over the course of its early history, recognition continued to center on those who had died in that war. It wasn't until after World War I that the day was expanded to honor all of those who had died in all American wars. Finally, in 1971, Memorial Day was declared a national holiday by an act of Congress. At that time, its place on the calendar officially became the last Monday of May. One addition in more recent years to the celebration of Memorial Day dates back to the year 2000. In December of that year, the U.S. Congress passed and the President signed into law the National Moment of Remembrance Act, a part of which includes the National Moment of Remembrance, which encourages all Americans to pause wherever they are at 3 p.m. of their local time on Memorial Day for a minute of silence to remember and honor those who have died in service to our nation. Carmela LaSpada, the founder of the Moment of Remembrance, had this to say about it. It's a way we can all help put the memorial back in Memorial Day. And that kind of leads up to my next thought. For a lot of people, it is an extra day off, which is normally something people are pretty happy about. I know I am. Many parts of the country, from whole towns to within families, have traditions that go with that day. Across central Kansas, for example, where I first saw what Memorial Day was, it was barbecues, large get-togethers, parades, flowers at the cemetery, and large numbers of folks headed to the various area lakes for a fun day on the water. Across the lower 48, Memorial Day weekend is often one of the biggest all year with regards to travel. I guess in sharing all this, my hope would be a simple one. Remember why you have the day off. Cook up some hot dogs and burgers on the grill, go boating, laugh, and enjoy spending time with friends and family. But remember why you have the day off. I tried to find something of a concrete number for how many soldiers have died while fighting for our country, for our freedom. And it varies amongst several sites that I believe to be reputable. All of them have it approaching 1 million, though the exact total is a bit different for each. The bottom line? A lot of folks have died defending the freedom all Americans have. More will likely die in future years. Taking a moment to remember why you get to laugh and be outside and go boating seems like a small price to pay for those freedoms. There are some things to consider for Monday, some things that many of you probably already do, to show that you remember. Attending memorial services is one such way. If you're going to be in Dillingham on Monday, there is such a service planned for downtown to begin at noon at what people call the Hildebrandt Building. Another way is to proudly display a flag at your home. If you follow proper procedure and your flag is on a flagpole, flags are to be at half-mast until noon and then raised in full after that. And I would urge you to consider keeping an eye on the clock and observing that national moment of remembrance at 3 o'clock. Pause for a moment in the course of whatever you have planned to honor the fallen. I'd like to end thoughts about Memorial Day today with another snippet of history. I can remember as a young child artificial poppies being distributed on Memorial Day. I'm pretty sure that I was totally clueless as to the meaning, other than to understand that the poppies were tied to the day in some way. For those who don't know the significance of the poppies, as I'm sure they're still a prominent part of many Memorial Day celebrations in many places, their tie to the day traces its way back to World War I. A Canadian military soldier and doctor, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, wrote a poem in 1915, during that war, about a colleague and friend of his who had died while serving. The poem went viral before there was an internet to carry it, which speaks to the power it held. The title of the poem was In Flanders Field, so named because of a spot at one of the battle sites. One of the first flowers to grow back at such sites were red poppies, and it was about those poppies and what they signified that McRae wrote about. By the way, McRae died in that same war 3 years later. After the war, poppies as a remembrance of World War I became a thing across the globe, with proceeds from the sale of poppies going to the aid of children orphaned by the war. Here's McRae's poem as something to carry you into Memorial Day weekend. In Flanders Field the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie, in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw, the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. A last item for today. 2 weeks ago, the episode was a recruitment pitch for the two summer camps offered by Togiak Refuge for area teens. During the course of that episode, I made what was meant as a humorous comment that used the terms thugs and future felons. Humor is and will always be a subjective thing. A few listeners called to indicate they were offended by my choice of words to convey what I was attempting to say. It was never my intent to offend anyone, and for that I sincerely apologize. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.